The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have a new book in front of me. It's called Shadow Work, A Practical Guide to Embracing Your Shadow Side, Tackling Shame and Transforming Pain into Power. Its author is Pat Dively, wellness coach and facilitator. Pat, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me in.
Now, the first question, obviously based on the book and its contents, is what is my shadow self?
The shadow we can think of as any aspect of ourself that we find it difficult to be with or difficult to love. So the way that I put it to people is that we'll all have taken on messages in our life about how we should be, what's safe to show, what's not safe to show. And any aspect that was rejected by ourselves gets pushed into the shadow. And we might think it goes away, but really it takes on a life of its own.
Now, I read in your book where you were at an event, a meditation kind of event, and you were asked, you know, who are you?
Explain, you know, who are you?
And what did you say? Well, you were a bit intimidated.
It's a big spiritual question. You know, people philosophize their whole life on this question of who am I? And if I didn't have my name, who would I be? If I didn't have my job, who would I be? And taking back all those parts of our identity.
And some of the people who spoke before you had also
said, beautiful, beautiful expressions.
I am the light, I am the truth.
yes. Real spiritual beauty, you know, and I'm a beacon of love and light. I'm a loving mother. And it got to me and I said, I'm good and I'm bad. And sometimes I'm a nice guy, sometimes I'm not. And I could feel them kind of pulling away because it was a yoga retreat. You know, you're supposed to be spiritual. You're supposed to be a good person. And I said, look, I want to be a good person. But to be a good person, I think you have to recognize.
I mean, you said
literally,
sometimes I'm a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't go down well at the retreat, I'd imagine, the kind of airy-fairy retreat.
Yeah, I felt one or two of them kind of saw what I was saying, I think. But one of my favorite teachers is a guy called Anthony DeMello, who was a Jesuit priest. And he said something like, what you're aware of, you're in control of. But what you're not aware of is in control of you. So if you don't know you have the propensity to be a certain way, it's going to trip you up and it's going to be acting in the background. And I think a lot of addiction issues, I think a lot of self-sabotaging behaviors are a result of the parts we pushed away and denied, taking on a life of their own. It's like someone who's very nice and then the road rage comes from nowhere. It was somewhere there, you know?
Okay, it's the dark side.
It's the dark side,
The dark side, yeah.
But, you know, for these people that were love and light, their idea of enlightenment is to become one with God. My take on enlightenment is it's shining light on what's in the dark, and there's lots of stuff in the dark. It's not all pretty.
So how do you go about finding the shade? I mean, the shadows that are within us all, how do you go about mining them, rooting them out? Because they may be well buried.
They are, and I mean, it's for good reason, because at some point in our life, we learned that it's not safe to show this aspect. A very common one I share is that for a lot of men, we took on the message, boys don't cry. And so at 7 years old, you shut down your emotion, and maybe then you're 47, 57 and can't tell your kids you love them because that part got frozen in time. So to find these parts, one easy way is to look at projections. So what do I project onto other people? What do I criticize about other people? What do I admire in other people? What we see in others is oftentimes a mirror to ourselves. So if I'm quite passive and I struggle to find my voice, if I'm triggered, if you will, by assertive people, maybe they're mirroring back a part of myself that's been dormant or asleep. So projections is one way of seeing some aspects of your shadow. The other way that's quite useful is to look at how you like to identify. So a lot of us like to identify as being hardworking, and we put our laziness into shadow.
Okay.
But maybe it's not laziness, maybe it's rest, you know, and we over-identify with being hardworking. So I think everything works until it doesn't work, and it's about finding balance in ourselves.
And the question you addressed there just briefly in passing is, who would I be if I didn't have my name, if I didn't have my job, if I didn't have my title, if I didn't even have, you know, a family to kind of root me? People find that a bit difficult to grasp because they do tend to define themselves by what they are and what they do.
Yeah, and we did an event last night and I was sharing with the group that I think one of the things that can happen is, in a way, we can be stuck in almost a teenage society, whereas teenagers, we learn that we're kind of insecure as teenagers and we get our validation from what we achieve and what we do and how we look and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of us don't outgrow that. The rest of our life is about how we're seen and how we're portrayed. So my work is very much about, can we take a little bit of space for ourselves, whether it's journaling or it's a bit of quiet time or getting out in nature and just listening to the deeper part of you. We've all got conditioning, how we were told we're supposed to be. But maybe there's more to your life than that. I think the midlife crisis sometimes is you put yourself in such a small box and you're saying, is this all there is? And there's an opportunity, I think, to go beyond that.
Now, there's a very interesting graphic here, and it's three circles. And the inner circle asks the question, who did I have to be in my family? And then the next circle out is, who did I have to be in my community? And then the final circle, the outermost circle, is who did I have to be in my culture? Now, will you take us through each of those?
Sure.
What do you mean, who did I have to be in
who
my family?
Who did I have to be? As children, obviously, we're completely dependent on our primary caregivers. You know, we have to have our needs met by parents or whoever's there with us. And so their love and their acceptance is pivotal. If that's gone, then I'm gone, effectively. So Gabor Mate, who's an addiction specialist, talks about the battle between authenticity and acceptance. So will I be my authentic self or will I crave acceptance? And as a child, you have to choose acceptance. Otherwise, you're kind of cast out.
I'm just trying to get at what might be the authentic self of a child, say who's five, and who's kind of playing the game to make it work in the family because he's got or she's got other siblings and parents, and there may be different, well, there will be different personalities at work.
Yeah.
But what is, if you don't play the acceptance game, what is the authentic child? Because nature and nurture, I mean, you get a lot in your DNA and then the rest you get from what's going on within the family unit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think...
So where's the authentic self? Like,
That's what the book, I think, is about, is trying to re-explore that. And I think it's different in every moment. But, you know, I think the more conditioned... We talk about those three layers of conditioning. So my family taught me certain rules. Okay, don't show this, show this. Then we go to school. Don't be too smart. Don't be too, you know... we got kind of conflicting messages. And then the culture is my religion, my nation. There's so much messaging. So the authentic self, I think that's what the book really is about, is finding out who is the authentic self beyond the rule book that I was given. Because a lot of what I was given will be very useful. But as children, it's very black and white. You know, anger is good or it's bad. Grief is good or it's bad. Sexuality is good or it's bad. And my work is about, can we take those things out of the good and bad boxes and just find a bit more context around them? Anger is very appropriate sometimes and very useful. Other times, not so much. To me, that's kind of growing up. Because I'll say that biologically, we all get older. But psychologically, sometimes we're stuck in messages we took on very early. I was in the barber shop the other day and there was a child next to me getting the hair done. And he was adamant. He was getting a lightning bolt shaved into the side of his head. That was the most important thing for him. And when it was done, he turned around to his father. He said, "Dad, how does it look? How does it look?" And I was just struck by, for that little boy, the most important thing in his life is getting approval. Like, am I loved? And based on his father's reaction, he's going to take on a message, you know, as to what that means.
I presume his father approved.
His father gave him the thumbs up and he said, it looks good.
Because it wouldn't have happened if the father...
I would have got a lightning bolt just to keep him happy if the father hadn't. Yeah. But, you know, we crave love. It's important, you know.
How does one use the book then?
Because it's
not just reading it.
No.
Work with the book.
Yeah, I suppose a bit like reading books about swimming pools. You know, you need to get in the water if you want to learn how to swim. There's journaling exercises in there. There's also a lot of body-based practices. So I've noticed over the years with mental health, people really think about the mind. And obviously the mind is an important aspect, but the body is very important when it comes to mental health. If I'm in a stressed chronic state, my world will look different to if I'm relaxed. So there's a lot of breath work practices in there. There's movement-based practices to calm the nervous system because when we have a lot of stress, we hold tension. Signals go through the mind to say the world is a scary place, and then we look for threats. So the book has journaling prompts, it has practical exercises, and I hope to be a gentle guide. You know, yeah. I really encourage people to go gently.
I mean, this is one of the things that strikes me. A lot of the time, these techniques, like whether it's meditation or whether it's breathing, and they belong or they originate in the East,
yes.
In Asia.
Yeah.
And you get a different sense of calm from there. And yet, you know, you can have the Japanese meditation gardens with just very few plants, stones and things like that, and it generates calm. And yet these are the people who attacked Pearl Harbor. Do you know what I mean? So I'm wondering what is essential about us, if that's kind of the yin and yang of being Japanese, what is it about the Celts?
I don't understand the question, sorry.
You know, that we are importing... their meditative that stuff here.
Yeah.
What is it about us? What is native to us?
I don't know. Is it a thing of balance? You know, like in some ways, the East is trying to get where the West is and the West is trying to get where the East is in different ways. Are we all just bringing each other back into balance? But, you know, obviously culturally, things have just changed so much over the decades in terms of we used to live in community. There used to be a lot more connection. There used to be a lot more time in nature. We probably used our hands a lot more rather than being on computers. So much has changed in terms of our lifestyles. I remember a mentor of mine saying to me years ago that if you put an animal in the zoo and the animal gets sick, it's not the animal that's at fault. It's the environment that is making the animal sick. And I think in some ways, society can make us sick because it's fast-paced, it's relentless at times. And so I think that's the importance of having little practices that we can bring in.
Do you attribute any of the ways we are now to organized religion? Because, again, in the East, there would be more less organized religion, more a spirituality, whereas I think you look back the centuries here in Western Europe particularly, there was an organized church. I mean, the popes even had armies.
Yeah. I think certainly in Ireland, I mean, the church has had an impact. The third layer of conditioning I mentioned there is the religion and kind of the undercurrents of whether it was explicit or implicit, we all took on messages about what it was. Effectively, the question is, what is a good boy or a good girl? And then you can spend your whole life trying to be a good boy or a good girl. So if the church told you the sexuality was wrong, if the church told you you had to go and, talk about your sins every week to someone else, obviously there's a lot of value in the church too. But as you say, the organized side of things, maybe there's a bit of control in that is not necessary. I think personal power is an important aspect. And when you give your power away to anyone or anything, it can be detrimental. So as you say, the more spiritual aspects, I think it takes away the gatekeeper to God, maybe you get to have direct communion with God.
I'm wondering when people do this work, finding their shadow self, the kind of things that they really don't want to uncover. I mean, is there a danger that when they do, they'll run into trouble because they've been coping quite well, leaving it all parked?
Yeah, I certainly encourage people to be in a grounded place and be in a good place before.
Because you do warn at the beginning of the book, don't get into these exercises initially if you take it slow.
Yeah, I mean, if you're moving house, if you're grieving, if you've got a lot going on at the moment, it's not the time to be, upending and kind of exploring these things, I don't think. Now, the body-based practices, I mentioned the calm breathing, the simple this is really useful and this is an important aspect. We can bump up against discomfort for sure. The real message I'm trying to put across is the idea of curiosity and compassion. So when people try to change, we're out of January now, but January is a big time of change, and generally, people rely on willpower and almost shaming themselves. Like, what's wrong with me? I can't create this change. I can't stop drinking alcohol, or I can't stay, whatever it is. I'm saying, rather than that kind of judgment toward yourself, could we just, because it hasn't worked up until this point, could we ask, okay, I drink too much alcohol. What's going on here? Like, what's it giving me? And it's kind of a different way of looking at it. It might be giving you social connection and a quiet mind. And then you might think about what's other ways of meeting the same needs. The shadow idea for me is that everything we do comes from a positive intent on some level. So again, even alcohol addiction is, there's some part of me that's trying to have its needs met. And that's the only way I've found out how to do it up to this point. And then it's about, can I find healthier ways and more empowering ways? So, and the one other piece maybe I'd add to that is, I'd encourage people to, awareness in itself is healing. So just to see an aspect of yourself as healing, you don't even need to change anything. So I see a pattern and let that be enough. And then in time, when you're ready, the changes will happen.
How did you come into this line of work? And I even hesitate to call it work, because it's something else, really.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to get to do whatever it is, whether it's work or it's
a passion, really.
I love it. I really do. And it's really touching to meet people that are, influenced by it in a positive way, and humbling, to meet guys twice my age who are crying for the first time in decades. And it brings them alive again, because, when we shut down any of our emotions, it makes us numb to all emotion. You have to be able to feel your grief to be able to feel your love, because they're the same thing in different ways. But for me, it was I started in fitness. I did a number of years in fitness, worked with a lot of clients. And I started seeing, I was naive at 22 and thought it's all about push-ups and broccoli. And then you start to see, how people are speaking to themselves matter, and how people are sleeping and stress. And I became very fixated on the mind and mindset. But then after a couple of years, I recognized the mind on its own can actually be a problem, because if you're not willing to feel your emotions, one of the fastest ways to do it is to come up into your head and try to control the world. And so the shadow in some ways is about listening to your body again. Listening to the tightness in your chest that's telling you feel a bit anxious, and not answering from your head, but actually dropping a bit deeper. So I think for me, it was that. And it was also achieving a lot of things that I thought would make me happy and still feeling a little bit unworthy, if you will. So
you went on from push-ups and broccoli.
Yeah,
something a lot deeper.
I probably need a few push-ups and broccoli again now to find balance. But I ran out of places to look. You know, I looked to success, I looked to relationship, I looked to lots of different places to make me feel good in my own skin. And it was only when I turned back toward myself and actually made peace with the parts that I was making wrong that I now kind of have a confidence.
Now, you mentioned you did an event in Dublin last night, was it?
Yes, yeah.
What form do the events take? Because you have a number coming up.
Yeah, the wonderful Claire McKenna was with us last night, so she chatted and we had a nice conversation and some crowd interaction and got to chat to people after and sign some books, and really touching to hear people's stories and hear the resonance with, you know, things that were shared. And because I think a lot of these pieces are universal, and I hope that, you know, by sharing authentically, people can see a part of themselves in the stories. A lot of this is about taking off the mask and being in an environment where it's okay to be yourself. So yeah, we're going to be in Cork later this week, and Galway, and then Belfast next week. So
it's Galway tomorrow night, is it? The 26th in Kenny's Bookshop.
Yes.
And then at St. Peter's in Cork, tickets available from Easons.com, and Belfast at Regency House, tickets for the Belfast event from Eventbrite.
Yes.
Now, the book, I should remind people again, it's called Shadow Work, subtitled A Practical Guide to Embracing Your Shadow Side, Tackling Shame and Transforming Pain into Power. And it's author Pat Dively. Thank you very much for joining us in studio.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.